I Suck at Dating with Dean, Vanessa, and Jared, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Help, I Suck at Dating. We have another very special episode today, not just because of the topic that we're going to be discussing, while that is a very special topic, but also because it's one of those rare moments where all three of us, Jared, Vanessa, and myself, are in studio together, and we're just having the best time ever.
We're just hashing it out, you know? We're just sitting around talking about dating, life, relationships, sex.
Having a gay old time. Why is that saying falling off? Why can't I say having a gay old time anymore?
Well, I think it's taking a different meaning behind it now.
It's just frustrating.
I know. It's in the Brady Bunch song.
Is that right?
Yeah, they say something about how happy and gay they are.
Didn't they remake a Brady Bunch movie or something like that pretty recently?
There was two sequels. There was the Brady Bunch and the Brady Bunch sequel.
You seem like the kind of guy that would go see one of those movies in theaters.
I think I saw the first one in theaters.
And you're disappointed?
I was like six at the time. It really wasn't my choice.
Okay,
I blame the parents.
I'm sorry. I thought it was like within the past 5 years, four or five years.
No, not to my knowledge. I just remember the one from the 90s.
Oh.
That was pretty fantastic. I'm not going to lie. Okay. But it was a parody of the Brady Bunch. It was a movie of the Brady Bunch, but it was also a parody.
I love how much you know about movies.
With the same actors and actresses?
It's quite sad. No. Recasted. They had some of the former cast from the 70s make cameos.
Cameos? Interesting.
Yeah.
I guess I didn't realize that Brady Bunch was a 70s show. I didn't even know TV was around in the 70s.
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever watch
Brady Bunch? What they were wearing? It was like...
I just remember the iconic intro with like the squares.
Oh, or them like going down. Was it like them going down the staircase?
Yeah. Yeah. And it was like, how's that song go? It's the Brady Bunch, the Brady Bunch. I don't know.
That rings no bells for me.
Nothing?
Nothing.
You never watched an episode?
Well, story of a man named Brady.
Yes, that's it.
There we go.
So the reason I know that too is because they obviously do so many parodies of that for Tom Brady, where it's like, here's the story.
It always goes back to Tom Brady.
That's funny.
It's not my fault. He brought up the Brady Bunch.
Man, he's very right, but maybe he told me to do it before the episode started.
Did
you guys watch real shows like that as children or cartoons?
Oh, I love cartoons.
What was your go-to cartoon?
Well, I actually loved, I don't know if you guys had this, TGIF. TGIF, like
on Fridays. Thank God it's Friday.
Yeah. On Fridays, they'd have a lineup of Sabrina the Teenage Witch. It wasn't a cartoon, but I loved anything.
Boy Meets World,
Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Then there was another one with the basketball. Was that? No. Hang Time.
Hang Time. That sounds familiar.
And then there was that TV show that, what's his name, was on it on a boat. That's how he became famous. He was on The Notebook.
Ryan Gosling?
Yeah. I guess because he's a Canadian.
That was a Disney thing. That was the Disney Channel.
No, it wasn't a Disney. No.
Well, because he was a Disney kid. I remember that.
No, but this is when he was a teenager. The premise of the show was he was a student on a boat, on a cruise ship.
Breaker High.
That's Breaker High. I guess it's a Canadian. It was a Canadian show. Yeah, it was a Canadian
show. Canadian.
Oh, okay, that makes
so
sense.
So good. I'm like, I want to go on to school. I want to go to school on a boat.
Was Gosling famous in Canada before he started really becoming famous?
No, I think he really became famous because of The Notebook.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I was like, The Notebook was his big one.
Because
it's funny looking back at Ryan Gosling's IMDb. And I didn't know if like in Canada, they're like, hey, we got a guy in Remember the Titans. Like, he's going to play the cornerback. He's a Canadian.
Oh,
that's
I don't even remember that.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, he's the blonde head. Well, obviously, he's the blonde kid.
You know how The Notebook, so apparently they cast him as the lead of the show. And then what happens is when you're making a movie and you know you have a lead of the show, you want to make sure that the person that they're going to be playing with is like they have a lot of chemistry. So apparently they hired him. And then they brought in
Rachel McAdams.
Yeah, exactly. And they saw that the chemistry was like crazy.
There's an audition tape of Rachel McAdams reading for the part of Allie in Notebook with Ryan Gosling, who was already casted. But apparently there was rumors that they really did not get along on set, which is interesting because didn't they date?
They dated, for years after that.
I wonder if they broke up during the movie too. I can look that up while you guys talk amongst yourselves.
I wonder what the stats are for people who play a scene with their partner and how many people actually end up dating after.
I bet you that the fact that Gosling and McAdams had a tumultuous relationship would help them both in that role, because it wasn't a kind of like a movie where they had ups and downs in their relationships.
Yeah, and there's one of the great like I mean, I sometimes can be a little dark, but there is a scene in that movie that I love, and it's the fighting scene that everybody watches. It's where Allie goes back. So,
and she's like,
yeah, so Allie goes to see Ryan Gosling. They make love because they haven't seen each other in years and they're still in love with each other, but she's getting married to this guy. And then she goes back and she's like, that was a mistake. I shouldn't be with you. And then Ryan Gosling gives just an awesome performance where he's, you know, trying to tell her that he's the one she really wants and she doesn't love the other guy. And
see, this
she
is needs the problem. To go after we watch, this thing. We watch movies like this. We're like, oh, this is real life. This is what it's supposed to be like.
Yeah. It's the meme where he's like, what do you want? And now it's like a meme of like anytime you,
ask your girl where she wants to go to dinner.
What do you want? I don't know. So yeah, it's pretty fantastic.
Is that what she says?
I don't know. No, it's she doesn't say anything. That's the whole point. It's like she's so indecisive she can't even say anything.
Anyways, that love story is so cute.
Can we break down romantic movies? That's definitely a relationship topic.
Do that on an episode that I'm not here because I don't know as much about movies. So I
oh, no, you know
out.
Way more than I do.
There's got to be some sort of romantic movie that you have seen or watched.
Titanic.
I
Dean,
have
Titanic?
Seen Titanic, yeah, but I feel like Jared could dissect these movies 10 ways from 10
I'm not talking about
two.
Dissecting, but there's got to be a movie that you love out there that
oh,
you
oh, what
watch.
About How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days?
Definitely Maybe. I think it's probably
10
my favorite.
10 Things I Hate About You.
Definitely Maybe. Yeah. That's an interesting choice. You're
big Ryan Reynolds fan.
Oh.
He's my cheat guy, you know?
Really? Did
he's
you
also
see...
Canadian, right? Or no?
Yeah. I think Ryan Reynolds is Canadian.
Yeah, he's from Vancouver.
A lot of the good ones are Canadian.
I like to call out the Canadian people.
There's a lot of good ones. Keanu Reeves is Canadian.
Yeah, yes.
There's some good Canadian blood that mm-hmm. I'm very envious of.
Isn't Jim Carrey Canadian?
Wayne yes, Gretzky's is. Canadian.
Wayne Gretzky.
He's Canadian. Vanessa Grimaldi's Canadian.
Vanessa Grimaldi's Canadian.
Justin Bieber's Canadian.
Yep.
Caitlin Bristow.
Drake.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I mean, Drake's awesome, obviously, but also very annoying during the NBA Finals.
No.
Oh, it was
I'm
so
sorry.
Annoying.
It was. Did you see that post that he, when he was going into, I don't know whose hair, and got a piece of lint, and then posted a picture saying, this lint is up for sale on eBay?
Uh-uh.
And it actually sold, yeah. He was such a troll.
There's not, so definitely Maybe is your, like, go-to, Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, what about yours?
Ooh, my go-to. Obviously, I'm a big When Harry Met Sally fan.
Is that obvious?
It's pretty obvious, I guess.
How?
Oh, I thought, if you, well, it's not obvious, but, when everything was happening with Ashley and me, that movie was just very...
Resonated?
Resonated a lot, especially at the end when Billy Crystal is, because they've been friends, in the movie, they're friends for 10 years. Before Billy Crystal's like, he goes to her at a New Year's Eve party. It's a fantastic scene at the end of the movie. And he goes after Meg Ryan and she's standing there and it's New Year's Eve. And he's like, when you find out who you want to spend the rest of your life with, you want the rest of your life to start as soon as possible.
You had a caption.
Oh, that's
that
cute.
Once.
Yeah. We have, Ashley and I have a little picture in our bedroom that has that quote.
I like that quote.
Yeah. And I think our hashtag for the wedding is going to be When Jared Met Ashley, because we can't really think of one.
Mm-hmm. That's a great question that I never even thought to ask. What's the wedding hashtag? When Jared Met Ashley?
We're thinking so that in Ashley's bridal shower, it said it. It said When Jared Met Ashley. Mm-hmm. That was like the hashtag for a bridal shower. So I'm assuming that's going to be for the wedding. It's more of Ashley's decision than mine. Mm-hmm. I'm very indifferent because we can't think of really a good one. And that's cute and funny. And
Do you guys should like crowdsource it? Like put it out to Instagram and be like, hey, we're trying to think of something super creative and
yeah.
funny.
We did that.
Yeah.
And there was a couple good ones that I can't remember off the top of my head.
Like 99.8% like, of them were like, no, but two, like,
well, it was like when Ashley I becomes Ashley H or something along the lines of
that. Is she taking
that.
Your last name?
She will be taking my last name.
Oh, wow.
Yes, but she's still debating whether she's going to hyphenate. I think she's finally decided she's going to hyphenate Iaconetti. So she'll okay. be Ashley Nicole Iaconetti Haben.
And what about your children?
They'll take my last name.
So it'll just be blank Haben.
Isn't that crazy though? Can we just have that discussion? Why is it that children have to take the men's last name?
Because men
is
are more
there
important.
Like, what's the history behind that?
Because men,
I think it's probably just a social
misogynistic
thing. Yeah, it's definitely
yeah. But why are we still
thing.
Doing that?
I agree.
Tradition. I mean, listen, Josh's last name is Wolf. I would love for my, if we have kids, I would love for my kids to have their, his last name.
So I've been pretty vocal about this. On the flip side of that, if and when I get married, I would 100% take my wife's last name because it's such a...
You like doing things in reverse.
It is. It's just such a really ridiculous tradition. Like, I get it. Everyone does it. So it's like, we're going to do it. But at the same time, it's like, why? Why do the men get to keep their last name? Mm-hmm. Also, my last name is like not that cool. So.
And I think back in Montreal and Quebec at one point, you had to change, the women had to change their last name to their husband, but they had to pay for it.
What?
Yeah. Now it's not, you don't have to do it anymore, but at one point you had to pay for it. Huh.
So you would become Vanessa Wolf.
I've never really thought about it.
Sounds pretty cool.
Yeah. Vanessa Grimaldi is pretty.
Pretty badass.
Right? There's Vanessa, not a lot of Grimaldis out there.
Well, Grimaldi's nice because it's super unique. Haven's unique. Unglert's unique, but like in a weird way. I always say it sounds like you're like kind of gagging when you say it, like Unglert. Right. And I have two brothers, and so like they could let the family name live on. Also, I don't really give a fuck about my family name. Like, why do we care? Like,
I was going to ask you that.
It's kind of like egotistical of us to almost be like, I want my family's name to live on.
Is it egotistical or is it pride?
Yeah.
There is a little bit of me that wants to keep the Haven name just because it's my family name and it's my dad's name and my grandfather's name. And I know that might be egotistical, but it's also kind of like, is it egotistical to say I'm a proud American? I don't know. There's a balance, right?
Yeah.
Where you want to be a nationalist and say you're like, hey, I'm a proud Canadian. But there's that other side to say, well, we're not better than anybody, but I'm also very proud of where I come from.
Are you a proud American?
I'm definitely a proud American. I mean, listen, not to say there's a lot of stains on this country that are currently happening, and obviously with our history where we have screwed up many, many times. But, you know, so have a lot of different countries in a lot of different...
I like to say I'm happy to be an American, but I'm not necessarily proud of it. You know what I mean?
Why?
I don't know. It's just, especially when you travel so much, like you say,
you're
from USA. Well, that people always get, like, perk up and like, oh, USA, like I love USA, blah blah blah. But it's just like the connotations, the stains, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
totally. There's a lot of bad history here.
Are you proud to be white?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I also we're living in a society right now where I feel like you have to shit on being white. Like, I feel like anything I do in my life, if I'm successful, I feel like I have to make, like, put in context, be like, I know I'm privileged. I know I'm white. Like, I'm sorry. I feel like I have to say that before I can be proud of anything I do. To be like, hey, I'm proud I did this. I know I'm privileged. I know I had it, you know, I know I grew up white. So there's a part of me that wants to be like, yes, but at the same time, like, that's okay. You know, it's okay to be white. It's cool to be white. It's cool to be black. It's cool to be Asian. It's cool to be a lot of different ethnicities, you know, every ethnicity.
But it's whatever you are, you should be proud of it, kind of thing.
I think so, you know, because I think, especially in this culture right now, the political culture that we live in, not to make this a political podcast, but I think there's a lot... God, I didn't even want to talk about the podcast.
We should never talk about politics.
Yeah, I'd love to talk to you about this off air because I have a lot of opinions about it.
Yeah, I heard you and Josh really get into politics.
Yeah, but I think maybe some of the reason why we are in the state we are within this country is because there's a lot of people who feel, I'm not saying this is right or wrong, but they feel like they're walking on glass a little bit. And that's obviously very,
especially in 2019, like in the landscape that we're now, it's like everyone gets offended by everything that people say and do, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like with that, I think that's what you're saying. Like everyone's walking on eggshells because it's like, oh, I don't want to say one thing that could possibly rub someone's feathers the wrong way.
Yeah. Even now, like I don't want to express my opinions, even though I don't think my opinion is really that radical or wrong, but I'm just nervous about somebody offending someone and then they, you know, email the show and be like, oh my God, I can't believe you said that. And it's like... You know, there are times where I miss the old days of like, if you didn't like somebody's opinion, just don't listen to what they have to say.
Do you think any of that carries into dating?
Of course.
Wait, I didn't hear that. What was that?
Do we think that any of the landscape that like we're faced with in 2019 carries into how it's like changed and shaped the dating culture that we're in now?
What do you mean?
Like, I think for better.
Yeah.
Specifically with the equality between men and women. You don't think so, Tori?
Wait, give me an example.
So
I want to hear your opinion.
I mean, obviously, the ideas of men and women have changed pretty significantly over the past few years. I feel like open-mindedness is a lot more of a preached thing nowadays, which is great. I guess I don't have a specific example to give you, but I'm just saying, like, just the way that things have changed, where it's like, you know, we have all these movements, and it's great to have these movements because it's great to, like, bring exposure to these topics and these issues that we're dealing with. But also it's like, sometimes you have to, like, now you have to consider more things as you're going out to date more people, right? Like, you have to be more considerate cautious and all these things.
Which feel like as a man, you're more cautious in the way that you approach a female?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I heard, absolutely, so yes. There's a comedian who has a joke. I don't even know if I'm allowed saying this, but
it's not your words, it's somebody else's.
A comedian who has a joke saying, he basically says how since the Me Too movement, he will never get on top of a girl whenever he goes into bed with her. He wants to be the submissive one.
Yeah.
And he'll never go on top of her.
Conveniently for me, my favorite position is on bottom. So it's like, I'm always going to be on the bottom anyways.
Tori, you said that when Dean said, has the landscape changed in the dating world? Is that better or worse? And I said, I think it's better because of a lot of different reasons. And you were shaking your head. No. What? Why is that?
I just think that guys have taken more of a passive role on it now, that they're like, I can't figure out what this girl wants or what's right or wrong, that now I'm just going to completely back off. And
but then why can't that be on the girl to then step forward and take a more aggressive role?
But I think we have. But I think that now it's like enabled the whole dating realm where it's like, I mean, I get Bumble was like, no, I'm going to be the girl and I'm going to reach out to you. But I think that now it's like we go to a bar and I think it's just caused like isolation almost. Besides it being like fluid, it's more of like guys don't do it. So now I'm angry, or it's now the girls are doing it and it's only going to be on my terms. And I think that there just could be more, it could be more fluid of, I think guys are now, I'm just going to sit back and get DM'd or, you know what I mean? I think little bit of the technology realm too has now affected.
100%. I think technology just screwed dating.
Well, now because as a guy or a girl, if you see a cute person at the bar, you no longer need to go up to them at the bar. You can easily just go home, find them on Instagram and send them a DM.
How creepy is that? So Josh ended up, when we were in Tahoe, he got a message from someone because they realized that we were together off of my Instagram account. And I'm like, it's just crazy how people can know so much information about you online.
I'm going to bring it back. Sorry, 1 second, just to what Tori just said and why I'm frustrated by that. It sounds like to me, I've heard this before pretty often, especially when it comes to girls. they want things that are convenient for them, in the sense that they want the men to pay for dinner. But then they also...
Not necessarily.
I'm just saying they want...
That's a generalized statement.
Okay, sure. But a girl would want a guy to pay for dinner, but then also like not have to... Like she wants the guy to step up when it's convenient for her. Like, don't hold the door open for me. I'm a modern woman. That's fine. But also pay for my dinner. You know, like that type of stuff. It can be so frustrating to hear because it's like...
Right.
If you want it at any given point, then you have to have it that way for forever sort of thing.
Well... I get your point. It's like, well, have it like the new way or the old way.
Right,
like, there's
exactly.
no in between.
Because exactly.
then, like, the guy's always going to lose out. Is that what you're trying to say? I think my point of, if there's all these dating apps in my head, it's like, okay, well, it's so much easier now for a guy to like reach out to me, or for a guy to be a little bit more committed, because there's all these different opportunities for them to get to that place. You know,
why can't you reach out to the guy?
Oh, I do all the time. Well, not now that I'm in a relationship,
obviously,
but if you line up all the guys that I dated, most of them was because I went after them.
To Dean's point, Bill Burr tells a really funny joke where women see men's life as a buffet where they go through and they're like, I'll take pay for dinner. I'll take some of that. Pay for the movies. Screw that. You can keep that. And she's, yeah, it's like, I like this. I don't like that. I like this. I don't like that.
And it's kind of messed up, but that really is the way that it is sometimes with people.
Well, we had someone on the podcast talking to us about how dating now is like, fast food dating or something. Like, if you want to make sure you're in like a good and healthy relationship, well, if you're going to go to the grocery store, make sure that you're going to pick the best apple out of the bunch and not like the one that has the most bruises on it. And same thing, like, I remember her analogy was so amazing, and I'm not making sense right now, but it was something to that extent. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I think on the reverse of that, with men wanting certain things from women, like, we live in how do I phrase this? I think men really crave attention I'm generalizing, but I think there's a lot of men in relationships that crave like attention and emotion from their female, that the female is more than happy to provide for the man, but the man reverse does not showcase the same emotion.
But that's love languages. Yeah. So if you're someone that needs affection, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to show your love by giving affection.
I think within a relationship, I'd be willing to say that majority of people need affection. And I don't know. Sometimes I think about that within my own relationship because Ashley's very affectionate towards me and I'm very affectionate back, but certainly not to the extent that she is just because that's her nature. Mm-hmm. And sometimes in my head, I think, is that fair? Because I love her showing affection towards me and I do it a lot, but not as much as her. So should I really try to do as much as her?
I think Vanessa nailed it on the head though. You give and receive different love languages. I give physical touch, but I receive acts of service. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's just like, I think that's kind of just what that situation is. Maybe.
Yeah.
Or maybe you're, maybe just your level of giving isn't quite as great as Ashley's is. You know what I mean?
In terms of affection.
Right.
It's a little bit of affection.
Exactly.
Right. But I mean, I know people who are in relationships and they're constantly arguing like, oh, I just want him to, I don't know, write me a love letter. But if that's not what the person is used to doing and used to showing their affection, you can't be mad at them for not stepping up to the plate because that's not how they show their love. Like, I'm not someone that will buy someone like elaborate gifts. I don't even buy myself elaborate gifts. But if I see something that reminds me of you, like, my boyfriend loves Diet Coke, I'll always be the first person whenever we go out to a restaurant, I'll be like, I'll have a glass of water and he'll have a Diet Coke.
You order drinks for Josh?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's cool. Even when my...
He'll have the Diet Coke.
Yeah.
He'll have the chicken. No skin.
Even my one of my good friends who is like
I want skin on the chicken.
No, I do it. No, but I'm doing it because I want to be attentive.
Yeah, no,
I'm not
cute.
Doing it to like
I'm
over...
I'm teasing.
Yeah.
One of my good friends is the same way. She's always... Because she... is one of those people where she's like, you never call to ask how my day is going. You never like inquire about like this, or you haven't asked about this, or like why I'm feeling this way. And I'm just like, I'm not that person that can give you those things. It's just, I will never be that person. You shouldn't expect that from me.
Yeah.
And if you continue to carry that expectation of me doing that, you're continuously going to be let down.
So does that translate into your relationships as well?
That specific situation, maybe, but this one specifically, like I'm compartmentalizing, like I'm not giving you this part of myself, and so you should never expect me to give that to you. And when you get upset that it's not, that you're not receiving it from me, the only person you can really be upset with is yourself for expecting that, you know what
in
I mean?
Friendships or relationships, the one main reason why people get into arguments is expectation.
Well, of course, because your expectations are not being met.
Yeah.
But my question is, you talk about certain things that you just can't give because that's not who you are, but within a relationship, should you try to change?
Well, this is a friendship.
No, I know, but I'm asking within a relationship, say, there's obviously times where your significant other will say, hey, I need this from you. And you're like, well, that's just not who I am. But I think there has to be a balance, right? Because there has to be a part of you. You can't just tell your significant other, well, this is who I am and I can't change anything.
Oh, no, then you don't want to be with that person. If there's no room.
There has to be some push and pull.
Yeah.
That's what I've been learning.
I go back and forth on this actually sometimes because I agree with you. It's kind of selfish for you to be like, this is who I am, take it or leave it sort of thing, right? But on the flip side, it's like, that's who you are.
But so I feel like you're so hard-headed though.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you're like, I feel like you're someone who is, do you feel like you're someone who's very black and white?
Because
I feel like you're very black and white.
I don't know, actually.
Like you have to learn how to be a little bit more fluid and being like, okay.
Life is lived in the gray areas, Vanessa.
Oh, yeah. I'm trying to learn. I'm trying to learn to live in the gray areas.
I'm pretty good at living in the grays.
Oh, you are the gray.
No, living in the gray areas, yes. But in terms of like being hard in, this is what I think and this is what I believe. And it's like, you can't chip away at changing your mind.
Yeah. I wanted to add something else, but I can't remember what it was. I don't know.
Do we need to take a break?
I was going to say, let's take a quick break and then we can continue to jump into it. We still haven't really talked about your wedding too much.
No, we're going to talk about the wedding. And I found the story about Ryan Gosling, Rachel McAdams that I will read very briefly.
Read this and then we'll jump into a break.
Read it now before the break?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So there was some heavy fighting apparently between Gosling and McAdams on the set of The Notebook, which the director, Nick Cassavetes, talks about. And he says that actually helped both of them in the roles, to your point. And he says, this is a quote from the director, maybe I'm not supposed to tell this story, but they were really not getting along one day on set, really not. And Ryan came to me and there's 150 people standing in the big scene. And he says, Nick, come here. And he's doing a scene with Rachel. And he says, would you take her out of here and bring in another actress to read off camera with me? I said, what? He says, I can't do it with her. I'm just not getting anything from this. And then they went into the room, they talked it through and blah. And then, yeah.
And then they started dating.
Maybe, you know. Sometimes hate breeds to love.
It's a weird, it's sometimes you can get those wires crossed and yeah. you can kind of confuse the two. It
just means you care about the person very deeply.
Yeah, I guess so. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break and then jump into some more, well, start talking about wedding talk, I suppose. Well, Jared, it's funny that we're talking about rom-coms because wasn't Ashley's bridal shower a rom-com theme?
Yes, it was. Like I said, the hashtag was When Jared Met Ashley, which is a play off of When Harry Met Sally.
Okay.
I don't know why I'm saying it that way. And they played the rom-com movies in the background. Like Ashley's favorite rom-com is The Wedding Planner.
Yeah.
With J-Lo.
Oh my God, I love that movie.
She loves that
movie. How was J-Lo as an actress?
Amazing.
Good.
She's really good.
She's good.
She was also in another movie,
she's great,
Enough.
Selena.
Did you ever see that movie, Enough?
Great movie.
Yeah. So she also plays really well in drama.
She was great in Enough. She was great in Selena. Mm-hmm. What else has she been in? Why am I complaining?
Made in Manhattan.
Made in Manhattan.
Manhattan.
Manhattan. Manhattan.
Okay, so isn't it funny how she pronounced it? Say it again.
Manhattan.
And I'm like, Manhattan.
Manhattan.
There's no T there.
Manhattan.
So, okay, so it was rom-com themed.
Yeah. What else? There was just like tons of rom-com stuff there. Because just Ashley and I are big movie buffs and she loves romantic comedy. So that was the whole scene of her
bridal
shower.
Did you have a groom shower?
No, guys don't do that.
A groomal shower?
No, I had like a small bachelor party with my Rhode Island friends. Dean, you couldn't fly out there. That's the issue. Because I have groomsmen in LA. I have one in Vancouver, one in Virginia, and then
so the bachelor
the
and bachelorette
around.
Party already happened.
Yeah, it wasn't really a bad. I mean, I just went to a casino.
Because Ashley went to Vegas, or
no?
She
went to a New Kids on the Block concert.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, they were on a bus.
Yep.
Yeah,
and then just some of my friends and family in Rhode Island went to a casino, Foxwoods Casino down south, and did bowling and then
and was that
out,
on the
had
same
drinks
day
and then golfed. No, it was two different days.
Okay.
No, she went to go see New Kids on the Block, which was awesome. They took a party bus from LA.
Yeah,
to,
that looks so much fun.
Yeah, it was pretty good. And to Anaheim, I think they were playing. And it's kind of weird to say, but we're kind of friends with Donnie Wahlberg and Jenny McCarthy.
Really?
Yeah,
you're friends with so many artists.
Yeah, well, it's honestly Ashley just, well, not Rob.
Did she ever befriend the Hanson brothers?
She's friends. Well, she knows
which one's Zach?
Isaac.
Isaac. I yeah, Isaac is really sweet.
Yeah, she knows Isaac. But with the New Kids on the Block concert, they got to go backstage and hang out with Donnie, and then we went to go see New Kids in Boston, which was one of the greatest shows of my life because New Kids on the Block is a Boston band. They played in Boston and they just catered to the Boston fans. Like he came out in a full Red Sox uniform and like they played Shipping Up to Boston while they were putting all the Boston sports logos up there. And
this is the one you were set recently, right?
Boom, boom.
Huh? This is the one you were just at recently, right?
Yeah, it was.
I love how Jared gets into his little world.
Oh, it was just the coolest thing. Cause you know, it was anyway. What was your question?
This is
that was her like bachelor party, so she had a party bus up there and it was
so
a lot
her
of fun.
Bachelorette party sounded a little
I mean she got to hang out with Donnie Wahlberg. It's way cooler than mine. I mean I had fun, we went golfing, I love golfing, so mine was a blast too.
Well yeah, because your wedding is pretty soon
which is really crazy to think about because it just there's been so much planning involved that it's become more and more stressful as time goes on because it was so much fun when we first were wedding planning as, you know, because our wedding planner, his name is Troy Williams. He's the best and he's just a really close friend. And we're getting married in Rhode Island. So we flew out to Rhode Island. We're doing venue shopping, which was really close to my heart because Rhode Island is my home. And I think I've always envisioned getting married there. And so be able to, you know, go home, be with my family, and then also look for places that we're going to get married and then pick the place and then do like food tasting was so much fun because we had three caterers, all were awesome, but we had to choose one obviously. And it was like having dinner with your family three different times. Her parents flew in for it and my parents obviously live in Rhode Island. So it was like, and they wine and dine you because, you know, they want to be your caterer.
Exactly.
And so it was cool. Cause I think for the three of us, we can all, we're pretty lucky that a lot of times we get treated very well wherever we go. And so it's really nice to share that experience with my parents and her parents
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
to, you know, give them a taste of like,
And that's like, you know, extra bonding.
To him, like, hey, what do you need? You want another glass of champagne? Whatever you need, yeah. I got. And so that was really cool.
So any last minute details that you guys are still ironing out?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It's been, there's one hiccup. There's a couple hiccups, within any wedding that will all get solved, but it's just, it's, you know, the clock is ticking at this point, and that's become the most stressful thing. God bless you.
Bless you.
Is that I'm nervous it won't be done in time for the wedding, which it will be. But it's just all the, and you know, and now we have to pay for things, and like the quotes come in, and
I mean, you know, people can give money at weddings. So when we get married in Canada, and I guess maybe just in our culture, we don't expect physical gifts. We give money to help pay off the wedding.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's ideal. I would never ask for that. Whatever people want to give us is what they give us. They don't have to give us anything. The most important thing for us is that everybody's there, because we also know that whoever's not in Rhode Island is a little stress filled to try to get there.
Mm-hmm. How far of a flight is it from LA?
From LA, it's, well, to Rhode Island's not bad. It's about a little less than 5 hours, like 4 hours and 45 minutes.
Direct flight?
Yeah, you can fly into Boston, and then it's about an hour drive south.
Why didn't I do that? I'm flying like LA to Atlanta, Atlanta
and then
to
Providence. Because Providence is like, so Boston to the venue is about like an hour and a half. Mm. And then Providence to the venue is like half hour. Okay. So it's a way shorter drive. Mm. But yeah, on the way back, it sucks because it's like the jet stream, which still boggles my mind.
Slows you down a little bit.
Yeah, it slows you down. So it's about a 5.5 hour flight, adds on about 45 minutes, which is a long time when you're up in the air. But we're very excited. I'm just really excited for the week of to come. I want to get there a few days early because I really want to try to enjoy that time.
100%.
And like just go golfing, you know, and hang out and enjoy that time before like, you know, everything starts vamping up the weekend of.
Do you like vows prepared already and everything?
No, I got to really get on that. And apparently I need to get Ashley a gift. That's a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just does she get you a gift?
She's, I don't know if she already got me one, but she.
But she's. Expected to.
She was like,
you can get
her
something that she can wear the day of the wedding.
Where?
Yeah, like maybe a piece of jewelry. Yeah. Right?
That could be nice.
I mean, you're looking at the wrong guy.
I think
here.
I give it to her after the wedding, though. Isn't that kind of customary? I don't know. Apparently, there's also a tradition that you might have heard of.
You can see each other before the wedding?
No, we're not going to do that. No. Like, after the rehearsal dinner, we'll go our separate ways for the night of, and then I'll see her at the wedding, which I think is kind of cute because I'd like to not see her the day of. I'd like to have it be a little different. And so would she. We're actually debating staying in separate rooms like
the night before.
No, like a couple nights before to really kind of build the anticipation.
Nice.
What?
Yeah, just to really make it a little different, you know, to really look forward to that wedding night, even though we'll definitely just pass out. That's what I've been hearing, that everybody just goes to the room and pass out.
Yeah.
But also there's a tradition that you have to something blue, something new, something
some
old.
Borrowed. Something new. Something blue. Oh, no.
So this is what Ashley is supposed to wear, like something borrowed.
So something that she can have from her mom.
Yeah. Something blue. And I don't know. I just found this out as well. There's
something
a lot
blue,
of
blue, something borrowed.
She's supposed to wear all these things.
Yeah.
Yeah. And something new. Well, new could be her dress. Something borrowed could be like a piece of jewelry from her mom. And then something blue can be on her, the garter belt.
She was talking
like
about, yeah, either the garter belt or like, you know, underwear.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I guess Catholic.
No.
Is it?
It isn't a church, though.
It is a church.
Okay. But they were very lenient. And I like to describe Ashley and I as spiritual, with, you know, some thoughts about religion. say which way.
Did you both want to get married in a church?
That was the one thing where I wouldn't say disagreed, because I was very open to either. I think, seeing the venue that we got, there is a beautiful outdoor area that I was thinking would be really nice. But, you know, Rhode Island, it can rain. So
yeah,
I think it's really...
You don't want
to... Yeah, so we wanted to make sure everything was indoors. God forbid if it rains, we don't have a plan B. You know, everything's
still
happening.
That'd be kind of cool if it rained, right? Like, it'd almost be romantic.
Yeah, you know? It would be romantic.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, and then she has to redo all of her makeup and all of her hair.
I know,
and all
but it's such a beautiful place. Especially where we're going, the drive to... is really pretty, and if the sun is out, it's going to be really nice. Yeah. And we may have, you know, some trolleys to pick you guys up in.
Ooh. Well, that's so cute.
Like horse-drawn carriages?
No, not horse carriages. We're against that.
Yeah, no. Come on, Dean. You of all people, horses?
I ran with the bulls.
Wow, you just sounded like a horse right there. Can you do that again? Holy crap. That was pretty good. Unintentional.
We know what you were in your past life.
I suppose.
But But yeah, it's kind of weird because I think we talk about the wedding a lot. To be fair, we're questioned about it a lot. But on the other end of that, you only get married once.
Mm-hmm.
Knock on wood.
Yep.
So I'm going to talk about it as much as possible. I was thinking about that because I wanted to post something on Instagram about the wedding. And I was like, people are probably already, you know, they just want it to be here. They just want to see us get married now mm-hmm. at this point. And I was like, what the hell am I talking about? I get married once in my life. Yeah, I'm going to post about it.
And your story is so crazy too.
It is pretty crazy when I think about it, everything that we've gone through, the up and downs. And it's funny now because a lot of my friends, because Ashley's been so close to my life for so long now, mm-hmm. a lot of my friends are sending me pictures of like, dude, this was 3 years ago. Wow. And it's like me and Ashley on a couch and we're sitting on as opposite friends. Ends of the couch. And there was a picture that my buddy Kenny, who's in the groomsmen party, sent. And he was like, this is a picture from 3 years ago when Ashley was in town and you guys were like fighting on the couch about something. And like, I had my hat over my head and Ashley had her head down. And he was thinking like, at that point, like, you guys are already a married couple and you just don't realize it yet. So it's really funny to think about everything that Ashley and I have been through. And it feels like a lifetime ago.
Do you think anything's going to change post-marriage?
No, I mean, I'm not sure. I've heard different viewpoints of, you know, things change after you get married or no, it's exactly the same. I think the big thing I hear from a lot of people is when you move in together, that changes a lot.
You already live together
mm-hmm. for over a year now. Mm-hmm. And so I don't foresee that much changing.
Are you going to wear a wedding band?
Oh yeah, of course.
Yeah.
So
I find that so sexy when a man can own up to, you know,
traditional like brass or whatever color, gold.
Yeah. So I went into Neil Lane and picked out a ring.
Oh.
And Ashley got her wedding band. Nice. We were both looking at it. So it was a pretty cool moment.
Can you tell us what kind of band, or is that just like something you want?
I have no idea what type of band it is. It's going to be silver.
Yours?
Mine.
Yeah.
Is it plain?
Yeah. It's pretty plain. Very
traditional. No diamonds on it.
No.
I saw this one guy who had a wedding band and it was all diamonds.
No way.
That's pretty cool.
I always thought men just wore basically just a circle with nothing. A just a very, very plain band.
It's just more of like a symbolism.
What do you think when
people get tattoos too?
What do you think of when guys wear like the black ones?
I like the black one.
Do you?
Ashley's doesn't.
I don't like the
black
one.
I don't know if I like it. I think it's like too try hard to be edgy, you know?
Yeah. It's like, is it a wedding band? Is it not a wedding band?
That could be the title of my autobiography, Dean.
Try hard to be edgy.
Too try hard to be edgy.
I like the traditional silver. I think that's a good way to go. Either the silver, or like the gold or brass color, I think are the cool ones.
Yeah, I think go with silver.
Or copper.
Copper.
Or whatever.
Would you guys get tattoos of each other's initials?
Nah.
Like, who did that? The Kardashians did that?
Yeah, you never know what's going to happen, really. Marriage isn't permanent. That's a joke.
No, it's not.
It's definitely a joke. I don't know. See, the thing is, I was talking to Dean about this the other day. I don't have a tattoo. Now, Dean said
he'd be willing. Does Ashley
have a
tattoo?
No.
No.
So we're both... Dean said that he'd be willing to get a tattoo with me the night before the wedding.
That'd be a gift. That can be a gift.
We would get matching tattoos.
A plus J.
It would both be A plus J. And so Dean would have an A plus J tattoo on him.
I'd very gladly do that.
That would be really cute. Where would you get it?
Probably on my butt cheek.
Yeah. I wouldn't want it anywhere else.
On your butt cheek?
Yeah.
No, that's cute. It's adorable.
Okay. Unless, I mean, I will get it wherever Jared wants me to get it, I guess. Let's just say that.
Right on your forehead.
Oh. Within the torso and the waist down, anywhere.
Oh, okay, that's fair. But yeah, so that's kind of like the story of wedding planning right now and everything that goes into it. And yeah, it's been fun. It's been stressful. But I think both Ashley and I are really trying to just like step back and enjoy the moment mm-hmm. right now. Right.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to overlook what's about to happen.
And I think after the fact, you're going to look back and be like, wow, that all flew by, you know?
100%. Yeah, it's already flying by. It's already almost August, which is the month of the wedding.
I remember when my sister got married, also in August. It was a really, really hot day. And the day after her wedding, she's like, I don't know why I stressed out over the smaller... And we spoke about this before. She's like, if I can do this all over again, I wouldn't stress out about the small details.
Totally.
Because then that takes over and then you're not in the moment and you're not present and you're not absorbing everything that's happening around you. So
yeah,
like you said, just try to be in the moment.
Totally. I feel like I'm going to be a little bit of a jerk on my wedding day. Not intentionally.
Out of stress?
No, not a stress. Not intentionally. But to make sure that Ashley and I enjoy the day mm-hmm. and enjoy the moment, because mm-hmm. We just want to make sure that that happens. And so in order to make sure that happens, I think I'm going to make my priority Ashley. And
of course.
But
that's like the one day you should be selfish.
But there's people who have told me that the wedding is actually about your guests. And
okay,
I'm
well,
like,
that was another thing I want to bring up. So in our culture, we expect the bride and the groom to come around to the table and greet everybody.
I don't think we're going to do that.
Okay.
Because that's just time consuming.
Yeah.
And I want to say hi to everybody, but at the same time, we've put so much effort into this wedding. I want to make sure that we enjoy it. And if that means that I'm not going to take time to go around to every table and shake hands like I'm running for office, I might do that. I don't know.
I agree with that.
But I also want to see and hang out with everybody.
I know someone that can help us answer a lot of these questions, and we're going to have him on next. Crystal Randone, who just got married in Paradise.
Sure, DNA testing can tell you about where your ancestors are from, but did you know it could also give you a lot of genetic information about your health and traits? Understand more about yourself today and inform yourself on how you can live your life going forward. With 23andMe's Health and Ancestry Service, you can learn how your genes can affect your health. It's a lot to take in, but once you know more, you can take action now on how to stay healthy. I'm someone that likes to know more about my health and how I can stay healthier, so I love doing the 23andMe testing. I'm also someone that likes to know and be in the know of the updates, and 23andMe does send you emails on that, so you're always up to date with the process. Discover your health. There's a whole world of genes just waiting to meet you, and 125 plus personalized genetic reports on your health, traits, and so much more. The right personal health plan starts with the right data. Your health reports can give you insights about your DNA so you can build a health plan that is as unique to you. Understand your genetic predisposition to health conditions like hereditary breast and ovarian cancer, BRCA1, BRCA2, selected variants report. The BRCA genes repair damaged DNA that could otherwise lead to cancer. Certain versions of these genes can increase the risk for developing breast, ovarian, prostate, and other cancers. There are thousands of BRCA variations that can increase the risk of certain cancers. 23andMe only tests for the three most commonly found in people with Ashkenazi Jewish ancestry. Both men and women can be affected. 23andMe reports do not diagnose disease or describe overall likelihood of developing any disease. 23andMe tests selected genetic variants only. Visit 23andme.com/Dean for important test information. Order your health and ancestry kit at 23andme.com/Dean, and you can meet your genes in 125 plus personalized genetic reports. That's the number 23andme.com/DEAN.
All right, and we are back with the one and only Coach Crystal Randone.
Crystal Randone. How does that feel?
So I'm actually not switching my last name. Oh. I'm going to go by just Coach Crystal.
Coach Crystal.
Okay. Wait. Crystal Nelson. I'm not right now, and that's just because I just don't feel the need to change my name because, I mean, I am Crystal Nelson, mm-hmm. and I love who I am, and I think that perhaps when we have children, I might hyphenate for sure their names.
Oh, I like
but
that.
I just don't feel like I need to change.
So they're going
to
take
I
your
am.
Last name and Chris's last name.
Probably in hyphenate.
You guys should just smush them together like Neil Doan or something like that.
Neil Doan.
Ranson.
Well, it's funny because I've had a lot of questions about that. They're like, are you going to switch your name or not? And I've heard it from both sides. I'm curious, what are your thoughts? Does a woman need to change her name? Or should she? Because that goes like way back.
We had this discussion earlier on. In Quebec, it was obviously you had to at a certain point. Now you don't have to anymore. My parents are divorced, so my mom had to pay for her now her maiden name.
To take it back.
So I'm like, I think for me, I love my last name. I don't think I will necessarily change my last name. But if I have kids with my boyfriend now and his last name is Wolf, definitely I want to hyphenate.
That's cool.
Same thing. I want to hyphenate Grimaldi Wolf.
I'm gonna play devil's advocate here, as I usually do. In my school,
if not, it wouldn't.
As
be
he's wearing a shirt that says Angels.
In my school, I went to a small town, not many kids. My high school had like 200 kids in it, right? In the entire school, there was one kid. His name was Cole Green Smith. Cole Green hyphen Smith, and that kid got a lot of heat because he was the only kid in the entire school with a hyphenated last name. And yeah, so maybe it's just me now. Who
he got
because
heat for that?
Yes.
Of course. Do you not remember? I feel like I'm on Dean's page here. Not that anybody should change their last name. They don't have to. But yeah, kids are ruthless.
Kids
They'll
are
make
ruthless.
Fun of you for anything.
And, maybe it's just me because I have this experience as a kid where it's like he kind of got a lot of heat for it. So now I'm just like.
But
thinking,
now he's probably the cool kid because not many people have a hyphenated last name.
I'll be honest, I haven't talked to him in 20 years. But I'm just saying, maybe take that into consideration.
I want to say there's a little more backstory to it, and it's that Chris has expressed to me multiple times that he's thought about changing his last name because. On his mother's side, Maccheroni is the name. And because he has sisters, like that name's going to die out.
Yeah.
And so he's thought about changing his last name from Randone to Maccheroni.
For his mom.
To pass on like the legacy of the name for his grandfather that he loves very, very much.
That's so sweet.
So yeah, because like that. Of that, I'm just like, I can't switch to Randone if you're going to switch to Maccheroni.
Right.
I can't
totally
go through.
Switch to Maccheroni.
So that's like another major reason why I'm just sticking with, you know,
so,
Coach
but,
Crystal.
Well, he's going to make that decision if and when you guys start. Trying for kids.
I think it'll be in the future. And a lot of that is, I mean, Randone comes from his father and he doesn't have a relationship with his father.
Yeah.
And so that's like a debate that he's kind of working through.
Would he ever take Nielsen?
See. He's thought about it. He's like, Chris Nielsen? That's a cool name.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Cool.
Yeah. That'd be amazing.
That doesn't sound bad.
Yeah.
Sounds like a movie star starring Chris Nielsen as Star-Lord.
Because I'm kind of the same way as Chris, where it's like, I don't really like my last name. My father and I have a kind of a broken relationship as well. So I'm like, I'll just take my wife's last name. You know what I mean?
You would do that.
I would be open to it. Yeah. As long as it's something cool, like Nielsen.
Yeah. You guys think that's cool?
Yeah.
Nielsen?
Really?
Because yeah, cool
growing up, I was like, I thought it was just mediocre.
I feel like everybody
hated
their name
growing
up.
Everyone says Nielsen. I'm like, it's Nielsen. I before E, bro.
Yeah. Get it together.
I before E.
Well, that's
on.
Interesting.
Is it in there?
Okay. Well, so Jared obviously has a wedding coming up.
Yes. I'm so excited. Congratulations.
Later this month. Advice?
Absolutely. Okay, so Chris and I just celebrated our 1 month anniversary.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Yay. And we are about to book our flight to your wedding as soon as I get back tonight.
Perfect.
And I was strolling through some advice, having gone through this recently, that is really critical that I want to make sure that I can help my brother and my sister out to have the most stress-free experience.
Yeah.
We were talking earlier, Jared, and you were saying that you're going to Rhode Island, so it's going to be a time change. So you're saying you're going out there a few days early, right? Just to acclimate to...
To acclimate and make sure that we're not rushed. Because I really want to try to spend as much time there as possible before the wedding. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't just... I don't fly in the day before and it just flies by.
Yeah.
One thing I would recommend now, since you're a few weeks out, is setting your alarm to wake up a little bit earlier.
Oh, that's smart.
Every week. So that because you're going to be 3 hours ahead, you're not going to wake up so late in the afternoon. And you could really have as much time as possible.
Yeah, it's good advice.
That's good.
Get my brain set.
Right.
Teachers do that. My friends who are teachers, they obviously have all summer off, so they sleep in. A week before they have to go back to school, they start setting their alarm
to reschedule
earlier so they're prepared with first
so
day.
So it's not like a sudden shock. And you're like, I'm so jet lagged.
Makes sense.
One of my best tip I have for both of you guys is you need to allocate your maid of honor and your best man as the point of contact for all friends and family to express any like venting to and not come to you. That needs to be set really, really clear so that you guys have boundaries where you get to just focus on the two of you and you have like your people handling everyone else.
Yeah. Well, we're good with that because our wedding planner is going to probably deal with a lot of that as well. And he has been dealing a lot with that.
And so everyone has his information.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because my best man is my dad. And my dad is just, you know, he's a dad. He gets very stressed.
Yes.
And so.
That's so cute.
My son's getting married.
Yeah. Everybody needs to calm down. Like the whole tux issue. Not issue, but the whole tux thing I was talking to you about. It's like he's calling me every day talking about it. I'm like, Dad.
Yeah. And he's stressing out.
I'm working on it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And my sister would be like, why are you asking me? Ask Lauren. Ask Ashley. I mean, ask Ashley.
I was going to ask. So Lauren is your maid of honor, yeah?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Who's your best man?
My dad.
Oh, your dad's so cute.
Yeah. You're it so was, cute. Yeah, I asked him at Christmas dinner.
It was
a good moment.
That is funny to just imagine Ashley's sister and your father, like,
they're going
to
walk down the aisle together.
Right, but I was just saying for Crystal's thing, like handling like everyone, because Lauren like wouldn't care at all, and your father's.
Okay, so maybe someone else, like maybe it's the planner, but I will say that was the most stressful thing for Chris and I, like the most, was that everyone came to us to express like their frustrations and what they were stressed out about, and a lot of it was out of my control because it was
like
through
beforehand?
ABC.
Beforehand?
Yes.
What frustrations were presented to you before the
like
wedding?
Well, because it was like for the show, travel. So it was like really kind of last minute, like they didn't have their airfare until like 10 days before.
Yeah.
Like they left. So everyone was really stressed out about that, and dresses and food and just so many small things. And to be the person just receiving all the frustrations, it really stressed me out because I couldn't do anything about it. So I would just really, and my maid of honor is amazing, but very neurotic. I was very stressed.
Did the date of your wedding change last second?
It didn't change last second, but we didn't have a definitive date until maybe like a week before. Like they're like, it's like 99%, but keep it open. And we're like, what?
Keep it open.
I think I can talk about this. I don't think I'll get in trouble for this, but I remember being at Paradise this year and one of your friends who you are close with kept saying their wedding is on this day, but this day like came and passed. And now like, what's going on? I'm so confused. And that ended up being like 2 days after that or the day after that or something like that. Cause you sent him a save the date. Right. And then it just ended up being like a day after. And so like everyone was expecting you guys to get married on this certain day.
Well, yeah, that is confusing as a guest. If you're not, you don't know anything that's happening.
Right.
Especially if you're not.
No, when we sent out the save the dates, it was the correct date. I think just in Paradise, there's like, you don't know what day or year it is because there's so much that goes on in each day. So so it stayed that date.
Before we go, I wanted to ask Dean a question because we're talking about weddings here. And I don't know if it was the same thing with you, but when we first started planning a wedding, I think both Ashley and I had this moment where we both thought, should we do this? Is planning a wedding something we should be doing? Because once you start looking at money and figures and all this stuff and how much stress comes with planning a wedding, I think the question is just naturally asked, should we be doing this? Or is this some sort of tradition that maybe we should start moving away from? And I know, Dean, you have some thoughts about that. And I'm curious. I have thoughts too, but I want you to go first.
I mean, I'm anti getting married for the fact that everyone before us has gotten married. You know what I mean? It's like just because people have done it since, you know, the year 2000 BC or whatever, that we feel like we should be doing the same thing too. I get it, but there's just a lot of stuff that's like, it's like a lot of these are like outdated ideas that I don't necessarily agree with. So I think what I, in an ideal world, like at least the way that I view it now, is I think I would have a wedding ceremony, but I don't know that if I would go to the length of like having anything officially done, like all that kind of stuff.
Well,
but I don't know.
Crystal and I were talking about this like yesterday. I said that because of, I know my sister got, and I've been to so many weddings and I know what you need to do, and it's really stressful. So I had this idea where I'm like, well, I do want to get married. I do want to have kids. I would love to just invite people over for dinner one night and they have no idea why they're coming over. Like, oh, we're having like a dinner at our, in our backyard or whatever. And it's like, well, we're getting
Surprise!
Married today. Because then it's also the stress for it's stressful for guests,
it
you know,
is.
Like what dress am I going to wear? I have to put makeup on. I have to find this, I have to find that. So that would be something that would be so not traditional and so out of the ordinary for my family.
But you ever hear that Aziz Ansari bit where he goes, the first guy who ever thought of marriage must have been real weird. He goes, I love you so much, I want to get the government involved.
Yeah.
It's like, well, and like it's funny actually, because when Bachelorette came out and they published our profiles with like the 10 questions and answers, one of the questions that they asked me was, what are your thoughts on marriage? And I had a pretty controversial answer. I said, I think marriage is a institutionalized sham derived from like religious and practical beliefs, because it kind of is. Like, if you look back at marriage, it was I think it started out as, and correct me if I'm wrong, if anyone knows this, but I think it started out as two farm families that wanted to combine their land. And so what they did was they had one son marry with one daughter, and then they basically got all of their land, and it's just like, that's how they grew their empire, quote
business.
Unquote.
Exactly. Yeah, it was definitely business.
And that's no longer a thing anymore, you know?
Well, some of it's business, tax purposes.
Yeah. And that's an appeal
tax
of it
purposes?
Too.
Well, you get like tax
breaks.
Tax you?
Breaks. And then like once you have children too, it's like you want your child to be.
What?
So this whole spouse thing. Yeah.
Yeah. That there's
oh,
the taxes
yeah,
and children.
Girl.
Yeah.
So like,
there
I have no idea.
Well, you are in Canada, so I don't know.
Yeah, it might not apply to us.
Okay, that's true.
I don't know. There's just a lot of things that are wrong with it, but a lot of things that are right with it too.
Yeah, I do want to say that I actually never thought I would get married because I had very similar beliefs to you, Dean.
Yeah.
I just felt that if I'm committed to a person, I don't need a piece of paper that shows it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But like when I met Chris and like throughout the journey of our relationship, I really found someone that like I wanted to commit to, and I wanted to do it in a very public way where he just was my person. And it's like, because of our relationship, I grew to trust. I grew to love myself more through loving him and really discover a lot about myself. And I know having been married 1 month now, our relationship has transformed since being married. And I think a lot from Chris. He's actually been so much more vulnerable and open with me. And both of us, if you're familiar, we both grew up like without our fathers. And so we didn't have that trust and that like found that solid foundation that like of stability. And now that we are legally bound to each other, it's actually really beautiful because we finally feel like we have this family that we choose to be together.
Well, that's great. And I think there's definitely a lot of, there's obviously there's more good things than bad things, right? But like as a eternal skeptic as I am, I always try to find like the negatives of things.
No,
but
I'm a skeptic too. I get you. Yeah. I think I was asking more too about the idea of having a big wedding, not only just marriage about, you know, you two, two people becoming one, but the idea of planning this wedding.
The big ceremony. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I think both Ashley and I were having a lot of doubts when we first started doing it because we were coming, you know, to a moment thinking, do we want to spend this much money on a wedding? You know, we can put a down payment on a house, so on and so forth. And speaking to her parents about everything, because her parents have been great throughout this entire process, and they wanted to help a lot. And they wanted this wedding as, you know, as much as we did, because I think I've always envisioned getting married and having, you know, the people that I love most there and a celebratory thing. And I like getting dressed up. I like the idea of putting a tux on and having, you know, our guests wear gowns and things of that nature, and kind of, you know, having that, a night where it's different. Right. But that costs money. And so I think it's just, I go back and forth, especially now seeing everything come together, and it's wonderful. And I'm more excited for the wedding than anybody. But I think seeing a lot of the figures and numbers that are being thrown out, it's like, was it worth it? And I think at the end of the day, it will be
yeah.
But to not have any type of doubt in the back of your head saying, man, should we have done something different with this money? Of course you're going to have that thought.
I think for me specifically, as it pertains to the ceremony itself, it would be like, if my wife or prospective wife wants to have one, we'll have one. If she doesn't care, then we probably won't have one.
Can I ask, do you feel, because your and Ash's relationship is so highlighted and so public, that there's a pressure to perform for the wedding because so many eyes are watching?
Now that we decided to plan a wedding, yes. Beforehand, no, because it was our choice, whatever we wanted to do. But now that it is, you know, such a public thing, yeah, of course there's this, I think there's an element not only for us, but for our wedding planner. Because it's going to be so public, he wants to make it as perfect as possible. And that puts a lot of pressure on things, because nobody wants to, you know, chintz out. Nobody wants to cheap out on things. But at the same time, you know, it's our decision. You know, it's at the end of the day, we have to do what's best for me and Ashley and our family. Yeah. So, but yeah, no, there's definitely been a little bit of pressure saying, like, I hope people, especially coming to the wedding, are guests. I think specifically for my friends, not so much like, you know, bachelor people, because you guys kind of get it, but like, I think my friends and family have this idea of who we are as a couple and who we are as people, and like this quote unquote celebrity status we have. I just hope that they don't get underwhelmed, you know, thinking like,
so that kind of, I guess, goes to her question of like pressure to perform or whatever.
Yeah. I just, because so many people, they just, you know, I think they have a different idea of who we are, not in a bad way, but just in a way, you know.
You're saying you don't want like your bachelor friends to be underwhelmed?
Not my bachelor friends, my
the
friends.
The opposite. Your friends to be underwhelmed, or like think it should be grander than
I just have
be,
no idea what they're expecting. But I know when I talk to them, I think, you know, they're always like, you know, yeah. It's hard to really articulate, but they see a picture of us with, you know, being able to like do some really cool things, right? And meet some really cool people. And I don't want my friends to be like, oh yeah, that was cool, but it was a lot like, you know, other weddings I've been to. Yeah. I thought it was going to be so much grander.
Yeah.
And that shouldn't be a concern of mine, but for some reason, I think a little bit it is.
Okay. I want to give my last piece of advice for you, because I had gone through this with the show and a televised wedding, and I definitely felt that pressure and those eyes. And I haven't even seen it, so I don't even know how it's going to look. So it's like impending.
Well, it was a beautiful ceremony. It's going to look great.
Thank you so much.
I mean, we can't talk too much about it, but the ceremony itself got breathtaking.
I can't wait to watch. Thank you so much. But at one point, like Chris and I, we just had to let go and we just had to let it unfold as it was going to. And it was like 2 days before, we just completely surrendered it. And it's like, if things don't happen the way that we we think they're going to, that's fine. We're just gonna let it go. We just let go.
Yeah.
And we just surrendered into it. And because of that, like the day of the wedding, like when I did that walk, it was the most calm I had been throughout the entire process. Like when I walked down the aisle and just standing there with Chris and everything before that and all the stresses and even all the people and my neurotic maid of honor, like none of that stress mattered because it all led to this moment. So when you show up to Rhode Island, give it a day to like get it out, jump in the water. And then just like let it go. And like remember, like everyone's here to celebrate you guys. Mm-hmm. This is your moment, your day. Don't worry about other people's expectations.
Yeah, they're, I won't be during the
they're
day.
They're showing up just to celebrate you. Yeah. So just hold that close to your heart.
I am very excited for that moment. For like from the moment I get to the altar, because I guess I'll be the first person there. Mm-hmm. And I'm very excited for that moment. Because it'll be cool just like... I've been in, you know, the place, the church we're getting married in so many times now that it'll be cool to go into it now where it's full of just the people I love, you know, because that's going to be, because every time I walk in, it's just empty. And it's like, okay, yeah, this is where everybody's going to be sitting and then they'll be standing. We'll be there. Bah, 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 bah. And then like, there's going to be a moment very soon where I walk in and it's just going to be full and like, everybody's going to be looking at me and it's like, holy shit, we're going to get married.
Yeah.
And then to see like, you know, everybody start walking down the aisle and the groomsmen and then obviously see the doors open up and see Ashley standing there with her dad is, that's what I think I'm most excited about.
You're going to cry so much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are you doing a first look?
No.
Great.
No.
Save it for that.
Oh yeah. Oh, and, no first look. The first time I will see Ashley in her dress is, when her dad is walking her down the aisle, which I'm very excited about. Okay.
Well, counting down the days.
It's coming very soon. But that will put an end to our podcast today. Crystal, thank you so much for coming on in the end.
Thanks
that
for
was
great.
Thank you
guys.
For the advice. I will certainly be taking it to heart and thinking about it, and I will certainly try not to stress on the day of, and I don't think Ashley will either.
And we get to watch your wedding in a couple weeks, too, on national television.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That's
right. Is that insane? I can't wait. You look beautiful, too. Chris looked great. You look beautiful.
Thank you.
It was awesome to be there. So thank you for having us. And thank you, Dean, Vanessa, for being in studio. Thumbs up from Dean. I had fun on this podcast. Great. We just kind of rambled.
Yep, I loved it.
I love that too.
Rom-coms.
Talked about rom-coms.
All the good stuff.
All the great stuff in life, really. Tori, you are a trooper as always.
Big shout out to Tori.
Always a shout out to Tori. She's killing the game right now.
Lots of love. Let's give her all the love.
And make sure you tune in next week where hopefully we all suck a little less.
Follow Help by Suck at Dating with Dean, Vanessa, and Jared on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.